Greetings from Bishop Aubrey Shines and G2G Ministries in Tampa, Florida. We pray that you would be blessed and encouraged by the biblical message you are about to hear. Today's classic sermon from Bishop Shines continues the series Fundamental Doctrines with reference scripture Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 2 in the Amplified Classic and King James translations.
Read, therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrine of Christ, the Messiah, advancing steadily toward the completeness and perfection that belong to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works, which is dead formalism, and of the faith by which you turn to God, with teachings about purifying, the laying on of hands, and eternal judgment and punishment. These are all matters of which you should have been fully aware. How long? Long, long ago. Come on, grab someone by the hand, please, before you take your seat. Tell them if you are a Christ follower and you don't know these basic doctrines, tell them you're growing incorrectly. Tell them you're in the right place at the right time to learn the word of the Lord. As you put your hands together, give the Lord a hand clap as you take your seat. Now, there are several principles here, and I'm going to ask that, as they've already done, without these basics, you'll never grow and mature as a Christian. All of these teachings, their objective is to cause you, and I want you to write this one portion down. We have the notes here, and that is every one of these teachings have a design, especially this one. This particular teaching as it relates to the eternal judgment, and again, these are basic doctrines. What the apostle said in a nutshell, and all of us that live here in the West can identify with this, he actually uses the word in the English translation, elementary. It's where we get part of our English word from, kindergarten. So what the apostle was saying here, if you are a believer, these are some of the kindergarten doctrines that every one of us should have known. How many remember when you're in kindergarten, they taught you the ABCs or the alphabet? Well, the doctrine is the same thing. And that is, if there is no basic doctrine in your life, you'll never grow with the spiritual language that you need in order to get things from the Lord. So this last clause, I want every one of you to take a moment and write it down. And it's at the last paragraph, the last bullet point there. It says, at the end of these teachings, the objective of everything that I've been doing for the last 40 weeks here is that fire will be or should be ignited in your life. This is the reason why I'm taking time that you can know these doctrines. My desire is that you awaken with the real fire, and that fire then will begin to change your life. Other than that, what you'll find is that you'll be a church goer. You go to church, but you never grew in the things of the Lord. Well, that's not helping you really receive what God really has for you. So with that in mind, I want to go now to four principles. And I do want you to write all of these principles down. I won't be able to get to all of them today. I'll begin to finish this as time goes on. But there are several principles that I want to make sure that you capture. And four of these principles of eternal judgment that I'm going to give you, I'm going to take my time in the next 2 to 3 weeks here and lay these things out for you. And the reason that I want to do this is once you establish these fundamental principles in your life, it's going to change you. Now, please hear Pastor's heart. Please hear my heart when I say this to you. Anything that you do will take time to grow in. Those that, and I said this, I hope Dr. Gans don't mind me using her once again. Dr. Gans, and I won't get into how it came in this regard, a few weeks ago, she began something. Now, this is a grandma, and she's a 40-year biblicist, someone who's been doing something for a few days on this earth. She decided, for a myriad of good reasons, to go to the YMCA and to begin to take Zumba classes. Dr. Ganz, I'm sorry. People don't get this. I need you to stand real quick because I need you to really understand what I'm dealing with. Now, when Dr. Ganz was walking in a few weeks ago, I thought she had just gotten her groove on or something. Because, Gaudy, she was walking in such a way that I thought, whoa, what's going on with Dr. Ganz, Deacon Ellis? But I realized over a period of time that she had gone back because she is rededicating herself to maintaining a certain viable health. And as a result of it, she's going to see the results. Now, let me tell you how this ties into the doctrine. When you're studying doctrine, I can assure you, if I were to bring her here now, the reason she was walking that way was because the body begins to respond when it hasn't done something in a period of time. Am I right? Anybody ever stop working out over a period of time? And then you go back to work out? And then all of a sudden you feel things that you didn't know was there anymore? Come on. You don't have to reach a certain age to do this one. You could be in your 20s. And once you stop doing it and you start doing it again, all of a sudden you feel things. Years ago, when I was working on getting my blue belt in taekwondo, we had to fight a certain way. We had to stretch a certain way. And we would stand with a little rope right around the ankle, and it had a little pulley on it. And while we would stand this way, we would be able, while standing flat foot, to get our leg up to about this height. Several months ago, I was in a hotel. I won't tell you where I was. And they had this little thing, I guess, where over the shower you could hang your clothing or something. And my mind got creative. I'm sorry, forgive me. This is how your pastor's minds think. And while I was there, I had a little exercise. I don't know what you call this little thing that you can stuff in your suitcase, but allows you to do some lifts and some curls and that sort of thing. It's kind of elastic, rubbery kind of thing. And when I saw this thing in the shower, my mind went back to the days of when I was studying taekwondo. And in doing it, I thought, wait a minute, I wonder, can I get my leg? How high can I get my leg? So I tied, Kelly, this thing around my ankle. And I tied it to this thing, and I made myself a little pulley. And when I began to pull it, Gavin, I realized when I used to be able to stand like this and my leg was up here, this is no joke, I only got my leg to maybe about right down here. It didn't even get hip waist. And I realized, I thought, I wonder, am I doing this wrong? And the thought came to me, no, your body is not accustomed to it. There's a reason why I'm sharing this with you. When you begin to study doctrine, it's going to always make you feel uncomfortable. And the reason being is because your spirit, soul is not accustomed to this level of discipline. But if you keep doing it over and over and over and over again, pretty soon you're going to be able to get your leg back to once where it should be. Are you following me? So I have a reason for taking time to go over this. Now, in order to understand this, let's go over to Romans 2, verse number 1 and 2, because there are four principles that are here. Maybe I should have given this eternal judgment piece to you first. The number one thing before we read it, you can let it stay up, and please write this down in your journal. The first thing that we want to deal with judgment or understanding this, it deals with what is called truth. So on your journal, please write a paragraph that simply goes something like this. If I'm going to understand the doctrine of eternal judgment, it will be based on what is considered truth. All right. How many know Jesus said his word is true? All right, and we'll get there in just a moment. So everything has to go to according to truth, and you're going to see something here. So let your eyes fall on the scripture here, and we're going to read 1-2. I'll read it for you. Therefore, watch this, you have no excuse or defense or justification, O man, whoever you are, who judges and condemns another. For in posing as judge and passing sentence on another, you condemn yourself, because you who judge are habitually practicing the very same thing that you censor and you denounce. So the first part of understanding the doctrine of eternal judgment, that's what I gave you there in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, 1 and 2, where it said these are the basic doctrines that you should know. Here's what the apostle is telling us in a nutshell. He said the first thing you need to do is understand that it is not your responsibility to pass judgment on someone else. I need you to get that, because some of us assume that our job in life is to go around measuring other people's lives, but it's not. That's not who we are. Now, there are judgments that we all got to make, and we'll get into that at the appropriate time, but that is not primarily who we are. So here's a group of notes I want you to take. Every one of us who stands before God, that's Romans 14, you need to write it down, and this is what the scripture says. Every one of us will stand before God, and we're going to give an account of what we did in our lives. There's some powerful language there. And if you've ever had a checking account or a savings account or a CD account or a stock account, you already understand the language. That account reflects what's in your charge. So in other words, whatever, how many have banking accounts here or savings account of some sort? How many know that whatever's in that account, you are or should be conscious of what's there? You know why? You put it there. Now, if you wake up one morning and it has extra millions in there, while you may rejoice, I wouldn't recommend you spend it right away. Because if you spend it, that institution has to come back and say, excuse me, we made an error. We need our money back. Now, you can't say, well, I spent it. It was in my account. It was mine. If you didn't put it, will you touch someone and tell them if you didn't put it there? Come on. Tell them it probably isn't yours. Now, so the Bible says that every one of us are going to stand before God, and whatever we put in our account, God is going to measure it based on his truth. Are you following me? Now, I know we have Bibles in our iPads and phones. Will you take your Bible, if you don't mind, lift it up real high for me, and please repeat this with me, if you don't mind. Say this with me. Say, this is the word of the Lord. Say, and in this word, there is all truth. Say, and according to this truth, God will deal with me based on this word. All right, y'all sound really good here. Now, here's where I want you to go here. So, one of the things that you're going to see is what is considered truth. So, one of the ways that understanding the eternal judgment, number one, is understanding what your word says. And I need to pause. I need to make sure you hear me. Coming to church is not the only thing you should be doing. Every believer should have a time where he or she is putting the word or the truth in them. You can't wait till you get here to go, oh, what a good preacher we have. Thank you. But that's not the deal. The real deal is, how much time do you spend in the word for yourself? And if you don't spend any time in the word, watch this, then the blessings that you're looking for will always seemingly be out of reach. I use this analogy in the first service, and I use it this way for a purpose. Let me just kind of repeat it here. If you remember in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, it says, until we all come into a place of spiritual maturity, until we grow up in it. There are fruits or blessings that are on the trees that God have planted in our life. But if you never grow up tall, you'll never be able to reach for the fruit that God has for you. Why? Because you didn't grow up properly. And if you don't grow tall enough, please hear me, you'll find yourself having to get an assistance, a ladder, a step stool in order to reach the heights, in order to get what God really has for you. But if you allow God to grow you up, then you'll be able to reach out and grab it without any hesitation, and the blessings will always be there before you. Take a moment to put your hands together. Give the Lord a hand clap. I want you to make sure that you're grabbing that. Now, outside of the truth, or according to the word here, there's a second principle I want you to see. Go to Romans, the 2nd chapter. Make sure you're writing this down. Go to Romans 2, verse number 6. And when you get there, the word I want you to write in your journal is the word deeds, D-E-E-D-S. Because one of the ways in understanding the doctrine of eternity or eternal judgment is predicated on the deeds that you have done in this earth. Now, it's going to get a little tight in here. And some of you all are going to begin to feel very uncomfortable because I'm about to make you reflect on your life. I always use this analogy. When we go to these homegoing services, and you look at these bodies that are laying there, and I hope this isn't too morbid for some of you, but this should be a reality check. The Bible says every one of us are going to stand before God. Before you get there, you got to lay here. Are you following me? Now, what is it that you want to be said about your life when you're laying here? See, if you don't think anything about it, what you're really operating in is a real spirit of selfishness, because you're not thinking about your children. You're not thinking about your loved ones. You say, well, Pastor, I don't care. I'll be dead and gone. Yeah, but they're still here. And you want your life to have a testimony that you accomplished. I'm not talking about material things, people, because I know a whole lot of millionaires and now I know of several billionaires. Money does not make you who you really are, because I know some fantastic people that have no money at all, but man, are they rich in the spirit or what? So we can't judge ourselves based upon our bank account. You can't judge yourself based on whether or not you're driving a Ferrari or a Lamborghini. You cannot judge yourself based on material stuff. Your life is judged based on what you're doing for the Lord. So when you're lying here, my question to you is, outside of standing before God, what will people say about you? What will be their testimony about you? Listen, and if you never think thoughts like that, you're not thinking wisely. Well, Pastor, I'll wait until I get old. Maybe you've not lived long enough to realize that young people die as well. And you don't have to be 99 years of age to check out of here. You can be minding your own business and something happens and you can leave this place. But in leaving it, you're going to have to find some common language that you're leaving a testimony. Now, listen, you always hear me say this. Only what you do for Christ, what? Boy, that lets me know you're listening to me, all right? Because only what you do for the Lord is really going to last in your life. And if you don't have deeds in your life, then you're not doing a work for the Lord. Listen, saying you go to church is not enough. That's a good starting point. But once you start somewhere, how many know you don't just get on the starting line to run a race? You got to then participate in the race. You don't just get up there. You got to do some stuff. In order to do it, you understand there's some deeds. So I wanted to lay that out before we go to Romans 2 and 6. All right. So here's the deed part. I've already given you the word part. Now let's look at the deeds. Romans 2 and verse number 6 here. And I want you to see this. This is going to deal with the deeds here. Romans 2 and verse number 6. Romans 2, verse number 6. Here it is. For he, everyone say God, for he will render to every man according to his, not God's works, but according to your works. Would you just touch someone on the shoulder and tell them, I wonder how much work you're doing for the Lord. Come on. If they didn't respond, touch someone, touch another shoulder and just make a rhetorical statement. Say, I wonder how much work you're doing for the Lord. All right, watch this. For he's going to render, or in other words, he's going to repay, or he's going to make sure you're paid. Watch this. Based according to your works, justly as his deeds deserve. Is that in your scripture there? So, all right, there's one portion of deeds, but there's another one. Turn with me, if you don't mind, over to 1 Peter, the first verse. And I want you to look at one more here. As a matter of fact, while we're there, can we go over to the Message translation real quick, Audrey? I want you to see this in a different translation, Romans 2 and 6 as well. That's the Amplified, but let's look at the Message translation as well. And I think this will kind of help you begin to bridge a gap here to be able to see this for the way it is. I'm sure we're going to get there. I'm sure that the drum beats are there. It is. Hallelujah. I tell you, before we call, they'll answer one day. All right, here it is. You're not getting by with anything. That's in the scripture. Every refusal and avoidance of God adds fuel to the fire. I need to pause here because I want y'all to make sure you get this here. The apostle is not talking to sinners. Because that's a different judgment. And I can't teach this today because it's a few weeks down the road. Every one of us will stand before God. This particular judgment has everything to do with the believer here. So this book right here, he's not talking to sinners. He's talking to the believers. So keep that in mind. Let's go back to the top. He says, you're not getting away with anything. Every refusal and avoidance of God. So what is that telling you? That's letting you know that God puts certain things in your life, and how you respond to it is how you're going to be judged by this thing. Now, again, I recognize something. Keep that scripture up. Please keep it up. I realize that teachings like this make us very, very quiet. That's why Shanae's leaving right now. Because when, might as well walk fast now. She tried to do that. How many have ever been to a Baptist church? How did they do it? When I was there in New Orleans, they kind of put their finger up and kind of scooch on out. I can't let her scooch out. All right. Now, I know that this word is heavy. And I listen to my heart. I realize that when you're teaching like this, it makes you examine yourself. Because you got to begin to pay attention. Because I'm not one of these pastors, sorry, that will make you always feel good. I'm just not. That's just not who I am. Now, I'm going to make it plain here in a moment because I don't want you leaving here with condemnation. But please hear my heart when I say this. This is the word of the Lord. And we're going to all have to go and deal with this thing at some point in our life. Can I submit something to you? I need you to begin to examine your own heart and stop looking at everyone else's life around you. Don't worry about what they're doing. Pay attention to you for just a moment. Because when you stand before God, listen, you can't stand there with your parents. You can't stand there with your husband, your wife. Listen, you can't even blame people who don't like you. This one's on you. And if you don't deal with it on you, man, this is going to be a tough one. All right. So let God develop you where you are. Get your eyes off other people. Let's go back to the scripture one more time. Same verse there. I was reading it to you in the message. Look at it again. You're not getting away with anything. Every refusal and avoidance of God adds fuel to the fire. The day is coming when it's going to blaze hot and high. God's fiery and righteous judgment. Make no mistake. In the end, you'll get what? It's coming to you. Real, come on. Real, like those who work on God's side. Is that there? But to those who insist on getting their own way and take the path of least resistance. In other words, please hear Pastor's heart. God will put some very deep things before you. And if you're going to understand this doctrine out of Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, understand something. When you're growing in God, there are some real challenges that God is going to put before you. How you respond to it is going to be the real issue. Now, I don't want you leaving here condemned. Let me give you an insight of something here. But don't use this as an excuse. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Can I pause for just a moment and challenge you? See, if we were all voting for David to be the king, none of us would have ever voted for David to be the king. Oh, sure you would. You can look at me funny if you want to. I know you. See, you know what we would have done? We would have looked at David's bio. We would have looked at his resume. And this is what we would have done. We would have read where David, oh my God, he slept with who? Bathsheba had a baby. Oh, Lord. Was that his wife? That wasn't his wife. You know what David's been up to. Wait a minute. And then David killed her husband to conceal it. Hold it. I'm voting for who? This is the man that I'm going to vote for? Can I take you a little further? God had also told David, hey, David, don't get in pride. Don't number the people. So David gets in pride and he numbers the people. So almost several things that God gave David to do, David failed. Can I challenge you? How many of you all would, don't you lie in this place? Don't you lie in this place? You know, if David was running for kingship, you'd have looked at his bio and said, the devil is a liar. I'm not voting for this man. This rascal is wicked. And there's no way. And you know what you all would have done? You'd have gotten together after Sunday service. And you'd have gone out to your little places to eat. And you'd have sat there talking about how wicked David was. David, hey, who you voting for? I'm not voting for David. You know, he done killed folk and raped. Woo, David's a mess. Have you read what's going on in his household? It's a mess. But you know what David did? The Bible says, in spite of David's issues, he kept chasing God's heart. See, eternal judgment, please write this down. Eternal judgment is not just about your failure. It's about how much you pursue the things of God. See, if you're never pursuing the heart of God, then the judgment will be based upon the things that you keep doing stupidly. But when you're chasing God's heart, what I'm trying to get you to see is that I don't care how old you get in the Lord, you're going to make some real poor choices in your lifetime. Listen, but don't let that be the measuring and your measurement of what God has really called you to do. Because if you're only basing your life on your perfection, you're going to miss God. But if you base it on your heart still desiring God. In other words, don't let anybody make that judgment on you. Let God do what he's going to do. All right, let's go a little further here. Turn with me. I want to stay with the deeds for just a moment. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter. Revelation 20. Make sure you're writing this down. You need all these scriptures. The reason I take time to make sure you have all these scriptures is when you're studying these doctrines, you don't want someone just to preach to you. You want to know the word for yourself. Will you touch someone sitting next to you and tell them you better know your Bible for yourself? Come on. I've never believed in being a pastor that just preaches and because you love me, you say amen. No, you need to study. You need to make sure. You need to know that you have your own relationship. Just don't go by what Pastor Shine says. Well, I listen to my bishop. Good. That's wonderful. But you better know your Bible. All right. Let's go a little further. Look at what the word of the Lord says. I also saw, this is John. He's out on the island of Patmos. And he's writing this as the Lord has given him this. And this is what he's saying about deeds, dealing with eternal judgment here. Watch what he says. He says, I also saw the dead. Great and small, they stood before the throne. That's all of us are going there. All of us are going to stand before this throne one day. And books were open. Then another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged or sentenced by what they had done, their whole way of feeling and acting. Let's go over to the Message translation. Because I really want you to see this here. Let's go to the Message as well on this here. I really want you to see this. 20 and 12 in the Message translation. Then another book was opened, the book of life. The dead were judged by what was written in the books, by the way they had lived. See, released in the dead. Death and hell turned in their dead. Each man and woman was judged by what? Come on, I want you to read it out loud. How were they judged? Come on, read it one more time. How were you judged? So watch this. Then your life is not based upon your bank account. That's not what this is about. This is not about your lifestyle. This is about what you do for the Lord and what you're doing for the Lord. Why do you think I press you so hard to have a relationship with the Lord? Because in order to get what God has for you, you got to work to get it. See, we live in this entitlement mind society. You believe that somebody owes you something. And if you're not careful, your mind will think that same way towards God, that he's just going to break you off a little some. After all, you're just so wonderful. Well, you'd look and tell someone as wonderful as you are, you're not that wonderful. Every one of us are going to have to give an account of what we have done and what we do. And I know this is hard for some of you right now because I've never seen your eyes glued on me the way they're glued on me right now. Some of you all are looking like, can we please have a funny moment in this place to break the atmosphere? And the answer is no. Because I need you to be sober. I need you to understand that all of us are going to stand before the Lord one day. And you're not just going to get to heaven just to get there. Yes, Jesus have already paid for us to get there. But in as much as he paved the way, there's still some work for us to do. And if we don't do any work, you cannot get a paycheck. I don't care what Venezuela tell you in another country. If you don't work, you are not going to eat. If you don't put any time in, you're not going to get a reward. That's like never going to your job, never showing up for a game, but at the end of the game, you still want a paycheck. No labor, no reward. All right? All right. All right. I got y'all just where I want you. I love when you're quiet like this. All right. Now, so we're dealing with that, but I don't want you just to deal with the external, because deeds deal with what you're producing externally. Now I want to show you your heart as it relates to the scripture. Come on and go with me over to the book of Romans, the second chapter, Romans 2. And while you're turning, let me just give you a few things to write down real quick. Please write it down. And that is the words respect of person, or you can just put the word prejudice there. The King James uses the language, for God is no respect of persons. But I want to show you this in two other translations. Romans 2, verse 11, let's go to the amp. And you'll see this for yourself, because I'll show you how mankind, how they make judgments. But then I'm going to show you how God himself, how he deals with this. All right, Romans 2 and 11 in the amp. Note what it says. For God shows no partiality, undue favor, or unfairness. With him, one man is not different from another. In other words, all lives matter. Yes, sir. Amen. 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 Oh, really? The Bible says in the book of Acts that we are all come from one race. So there is no breakdown in races. We may have different ethnicities, but there's only one race, and that race has been birthed out of the blood of Jesus. And the moment you and I make a difference, listen, I'm going somewhere here. The moment we make a difference as it relates to a person's race, you are not operating then with the kingdom of God in your mind, but you are making a judgment based upon what your eyes are looking at. As a believer, as a Christian, as a Christ follower, you and I do not have the right to judge a person based upon their outside. It's a kingdom thing. Now, if you're not born again, then you're going to be mad at what I'm saying. But if you love the Lord and you've been washed by the blood, you should have been the first one putting your hands together saying, thank you, Lord. Why? Because all lives matter. Please don't make me come down there. The blood of the Lord makes every life matter. Did you not read what the Bible says? See, this is why I had you to lift up your Bibles and say, this is the word of God. See, if you are a Christ follower, listen, you go by the word, you don't go by the world systems. If those world systems says something and God says contrary, you better stay on the side of God, because God is always going to be true and every man is always going to be a liar. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. Either God is who he said that he is, or he is not anything that he said that he is. And if God says all lives matter, then every life matters. Period. Case closed. Let's go a little further, though, with that. Go back to the verse one more time. But I want you to see it from a different translation, because there are several things that I'm going to give you, and we already have the notes here. But let's go back, Audrey, one more time, if you don't mind. Go back to that same portion of scripture there in Romans 2. Look at that 11th verse. But let's go over to the Message translation. I think this would help several of us here. And you see it there in the King James, for there is no respect of person. That's where we get our English word prejudice from. So what God is saying is, he's saying, in a nutshell, I don't base life based upon a person's outside. He says, I'm going to deal with your inside. I want you to see this for yourself. He says, let's go to 11. Oh, and again, regard to where you are from and how you were brought up. No, that's not it. Can't be it. Let's go to, that's it. In the Message translation, Romans 2. Oh, I see what it does. It cut off there. All right. Being a Jew won't give you an automatic stamp of approval. In other words, your pedigree doesn't matter to God. Where you come from, your lineage is not that important to God. Your last name, the caste system that you're a part of, not that important to God. Your parents being this or not being that, it's not the issue with God. Are you listening to me? So God wipes out, when we're dealing with this eternal judgment, and this is why every believer needs to understand this. Why am I taking time? Leave this scripture up. The reason I'm taking so much time with this, I need you to be able to see through the eyes of the scripture. Because if you keep looking through your eyes, you're going to judge the world based upon your own experience. But your experience must bow in submission to the voice of the Lord. And if your experience doesn't equal God's position, then you need to get rid of your position. Are you hearing me? Everyone say God first. All right, look at it here. It says, being a Jew won't give you any automatic stamp of approval. God pays no attention to what others say or what you think about you. He makes up his own mind. In other words, he's going to judge you not based upon any outside anything. He says, I'm going to deal with you based on what's going on the inside of you. Now, again, he deals with us with deeds, but I want to make sure that you get this down. So mankind, and make sure you write this down, mankind judges based on what's called outward circumstances. And one of the most prevalent things in this nation, and I wish some of you all would travel. Bishop Neal always says something that I really, really like. Because he has so many churches in Sri Lanka and some other places, and in Africa and other places, he always says Americans need to get a passport and travel. Yes, he said, because until you really travel, Audrey, you travel all the time. Julian travels all the time. Until you really travel outside of this country, you're going to always view this country from one perspective. And so it's a real powerful thing where I'm really trying to go here with this. And here it is in a nutshell. We have this one thing for the most part we judge on. Please write it down. It's called race. We judge people based on their race. And I need you to understand this. See, if you only been to America, stayed in America, you only think of black and white. But when you go outside of America, they got the same problems that we have here. You know, in certain parts of, you know, areas, if your skin is this color versus that color, it's a judgment. It's all of this stuff is silly. It's silly before God because God doesn't do any of this stuff. So a lot of us base our lives and our life experience based on race. I'm going to make some of you feel very uncomfortable. Some of you won't even date, haven't dated, because someone doesn't look like you. I'm glad you're quiet. I'm going to really get in your stuff now. And what you do is you keep your little pro self pro, whatever in the world that is, and the same stuff has been your downfall. You've been proud, and that same proud has beat you, lied on you, cussed on you, cheated you, and a whole lot of other stuff, but you down with the cause. You crazy. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over again, expecting a different result. So you've been stuck on crazy. See, I got you. Because you've allowed race, watch this, to measure how you make judgment. Though, yet the scripture says God doesn't judge on race. I said it here in the first service. When I first started this ministry some years ago, I had a lot of you that were very prejudiced. And I knew you were prejudiced. I can look at you. I know racist when I see it. I do. I've been around it all my life. And by the way, the racism I received was never from people that didn't look like me. They were usually people that were much darker in a hue. And I didn't speak a certain way, didn't sound a certain way, I didn't think a certain way, didn't vote a certain way, I didn't believe the same thing. And because I didn't go along with the crowd, I was outside of the crowd. Which, by the way, I really love being outside of the crowd. I've never done well with being always on the inside of the same crowds. Because if everybody's wearing blue jeans, I won't wear blue jeans, I wear khakis. If everybody wear khakis, I won't wear khakis, I wear something silk. If they don't wear, see, I'm never going to conform to your rules. It's just not in my nature. And so I've always been that person anyway. And so when I ran across some of you, as I begin to pastor some of you, oh, you might as well laugh now, and you might as well smile about it now. I realized that a lot of you had this silly idea that you could be in God and still be a bigot. So I couldn't get through to you. So what you didn't know about me was because I'm spirit-filled, I looked at you, knew you were lying to me all the way, knew you were bigot, I would always keep my hands on your children. And while you're being prejudiced, I was always praying, God, let him or her grow up and marry someone that don't look like their father or their mother, and that way in their home is always going to be an issue. And guess what? The majority of our young kids are now growing up, and they won't date anybody that look like you. Can I sue him for praying? No, can't do it. We are not in Islam. This is not the Quran, my friend. Here's the deal. See, we base things on the outside, and God's saying, I don't deal with outside stuff. Can I give you another quick point here? We also judge people, please write it down, we judge people based upon their wealth. Sure we do. If they're ballers, oh boy. I did a study on this once because I never understood it. As a kid, when we would go to the sports arenas there in Chicago, all my friends would get autographs. And I never understood the concept. It wasn't because I was hating. I just never got the concept. And when I was in school, we were studying behavior, and I realized why people actually got autographs. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying I couldn't do it. I didn't do it. Never have. And the reason I didn't do it, because I realized that a lot of people get autographs because that's their subconscious way that they can feel that they're connected to this wealthy person. So they want his or her autograph, and that way they can say, look, I have autograph of such and such person. Well, what does that mean to you? So you have their autograph. That don't make you rich, by the way. But it's subconscious. You think if you can get it, now you're identifying with. But if you don't have it and they have it, you still don't have it. I'm going to stand behind this sacred plant here. If they big balling and you ain't big balling, you still ain't big balling. You're just as broke as you were when you met them. You just happened to, can we take a picture together? And then you can show everybody you've been hanging out with the baller. But they making millions and you're still broke. I want that to sink in for just a moment. You know what else we do with wealth? We get mad when people are doing well. I'm trying to help you understand. Yeah, this is not a social gospel message in this regard. This deals with how you view eternity. It really does. See, if you get mad because people are doing well, you're judging wrong. All of our response should be happy that someone is doing well. Period. You don't have to hate them for doing well. You don't know what it took for them to get to where they are. You don't know the work that it costs them to get from point A to point B. Why not be when I hear silly, ignorant people, and I do this because I'm in Washington, D.C. too much, I don't know. But when I hear people complaining, well, the rich ain't paying the taxes. How does that change your children's life? If they made $1 billion and gave all of it away but one penny, how would that change your child's life? It wouldn't. That's in your heart. You're hating because they're doing well. You just won't admit it. So you blame them for your poor condition. Are you listening to me? Don't get mad because they're doing well. It's just not fair. And if they gave all their money away to the government, how would that change your wonderful decisions? It won't. See, we judge people based upon their lifestyle. And so we want to become something that we're not. Watch this. I'm trying to help some of you because I have some people here that's pretty wealthy. But that's not the point. Because if your heart is not serving God, you know what Jesus said about your wealth? Let me help you. Let me tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said, I quote him, what does it profit a man, a woman, to gain all the world and all of his wealth but lose your soul? There's no profit in it. So then what he's telling us is that our lives should not be measured by finance. So don't judge someone else as doing well. You may want to find out what they're doing and how they got there. And you may not like the answer. They may have had to work real hard to get there. Can I inject something for just a moment? Oh, I'll leave it alone because I'll mess up some of your lunch today if I go there. And I just don't want to do that there. Here's the deal, though. We make judgments on people because in our own heart, we've not corrected some stuff. So we judge people because of where we lack in our own lives. Don't get mad at someone who's doing well and you're not doing well. Don't get mad at your parents. If you write me, I'll write you back. Here's the deal. Why not find out the discipline it took them to get there? When I see some of our nutritionists and Ken, stand up, man. These guys, and Elder, stand up. These guys train and help train people and how to tap people out and all this kind of stuff. I got an easier route. I'm loaded. That's it. I tap you out, all right. Boom, oh man. I didn't even have to sweat that one. It's just, they just went away. Now, but gentlemen, turn around for just a moment. Forgive me for using you like this. These are brute men. Now, they sharp. They look like they come out of GQ or something. They didn't know that was a setup. These guys are clean gators. And what color is that, Ken? Mustard and blues. And I'm telling, and he's, by the way, he's, ladies, he's single. I just thought, and he has a job with benefits. Now, watch this. Watch. I'm sorry, Ken. Sorry, bro. I'm sorry. Huh? It's very important. Sinead, whose husband is standing right here, said, it's very important. The husband or the benefits? All right, I'll leave it alone. I'm not. But here's the deal. Listen, here's what I want to ask. You can't get mad at them for keeping themselves together. Well, you know they must be on steroids. See, you hating. They got this Balco going, no, these guys work hard to maintain a lifestyle. Now, I can do one of two things. I can judge them wrong, or I can find out what they're doing. No, stay standing, men, for just a moment. I may find out that it's not just going to a gym, but I may have to give up the way I eat. This is spiritual. Will you touch someone and say this is still very spiritual? Now, if I find out what they're eating, if my comment is, well, I ain't going to do that. Well, guess what? Then I can't get what they have. I can try to take a pill. We have adults here. All of our children in the back right now. Remain standing. Can I get 10 honest people? 10 honest. I just need 10 honest people. Just, okay, 5, Lord. 5 honest. Okay, 2, Lord. 2. 2 God. Okay, 1 God, 1. Has anyone here ever taken a pill to get in to lose weight? Oh, I got more than one person. Can we stay real? Because all of our kids are in the back right now. How many know that once the pill, 20 days, 30 days, whatever it is, 40 days, how many know once it's over, whatever you lost, it comes back with a vengeance? Now, stay standing, gentlemen. How many then came to another conclusion? If I'm going to do it the right way, I got to go back to these men. Now, you have a choice. You can do what they're doing, or you can use an excuse why you don't like them. Be seated. We can get what we want from God his way, or we can keep going our way. Here's the question. Come on, come on. How many, be honest, please be honest, how many realize after all the years you've been in the Lord, you still have not gotten the things that you know that God had put within your spirit, but it hasn't happened yet? Come on, honest, 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 honest. Could it be then there's some things in your heart that you are not addressing, and if you don't address them, taking the pill, anger, slander, gossip, whatever, taking that is a temporal fix. It's only going to come back with a vengeance. So we got to, this doctrine of eternity, we have to deal with our heart. Can I give you the last scripture? Let's go to the last scripture. And I'll stop right here, please. There's one scripture I wanted to give to you. Hebrews 4. Let's go back there just real quick. Hebrews 4 and 12. Last scripture. I'm kind of taking it out of order, but I think you get the point. Hebrews 4, verse number 12, and verse number 13. Hebrews 4, 12, verse number 13 as well. All right. And I'm going to show you this in the Message translation as well. This is the last verse. This is it. For the word of God, remember I had everyone to hold up their Bible? For the word of God, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it, look at these adjectives here, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. Now, keep that scripture up. Everyone take your Bible, lift it up. Say, my word that God have granted me has the ability to come alive in my life. To do what? To make it what? Active, operative, energizing, and what? So if your life is not effective and operating right, then the word is not alive in you. Are you seeing that? Let's go to the let's keep going here. And effective, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, which is the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow, for the deepest parts of our nature, exposing. Stop right there. Keep the scripture up. Note what the word does. It's going to expose what's in our hearts. I got a feeling the reason that some of us don't really get into the word, because when we do, we see ourselves. And it's easier to close it and not pay attention. There's a proverbial statement about the ostrich with the head in the sand, which is not true because they don't really put their head in sand, but that's a whole nother issue. They look like they do, but they really, really don't. See, just because you hide from you don't make you go away. I'm going to say that again. I'm changing churches. Go. And when you go, you're going to still be crazy as you was when you was here. Why not just stay and work this thing out and get this crazy stuff out of your heart? Because if you get the word in you, it's going to expose what you're really up to. Man, y'all are quiet in this place. I've never seen, some of you all are turning different colors, man. I've never seen this. All right, come on. It's going to expose the deepest parts of your nature, exposing and sifting. Oh, look at what the word does. This is dealing with the doctrine of eternity. It's going to sift and analyze and judge the very thoughts and purposes. Wait a minute. So when the word really gets in us, it begins to sift us. Analyze us, judge us, not just on the outside, but now it's getting into your thought process. So when you feel with the word, I'm talking about the doctrine of eternity, guess what begins to happen? It begins to deal so deep with you that it begins to, watch this, make you great, even if your head says, I can't be great. See, when the word is really active in you, can I help you? It'll take you to some places you've never been before. But if you got these hang-ups and prejudices and all this, some of you all would never be able to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish because you got too much of you in the way. And until you get you out of the way, let me stay here for a moment. Keep that scripture up if you don't mind. Elder, come. I need to end. I want you to hear Pastor's heart. Please hear my heart. One of the purposes of God, according to the scripture, I'm quoting it, is to bring you before great men and women. Do you know, when God allowed you and I to give birth in this earth, he had a purpose, and one of his purposes was to bring us before great men and women. He didn't do that to make you feel good. He did it that his kingdom could be established. You know why some of us can never get to those places in our lives? We come with so much baggage that if we get there, listen, we'll sell out to God in order to make that company we're around feel good. You know, I don't talk about these things since September of last year because I'm just not going to engage you. But if you all knew several of the places I've been in the last few months, your mouths would drop open. I just don't talk about it anymore because I have a whole lot of people going around, oh no, why he got to go there? Why does he have to do this? So I don't tell you. I tell you what I won't do when I get there. I never change. I still present Christ. I won't compromise Jesus to make me fit in the crowd. And sometimes when I go, I don't fit in the crowd. But my thing is, y'all flew me here. I'm gonna still do Jesus. You don't want me to come? Don't fly. If I told you all the private jets I've been on and whose jet, you'd be, for real? I hate him. Well, that's why you didn't go. Because I go with no prejudice. I go with the purpose that Christ can be glorified. I won't change the gospel message to fit into that crowd. If anyone change, they're going to do the changing. And if they don't change over a period of time, I'll shake the dust off my feet and move on into another place. You know what God wants to do? He wants to bring all of us into a place of prominence. Not that we can boast on ourselves, but that his kingdom can be glorified. You know why I'm taking time to deal with you with this? Because the doctrine of eternal judgment will make us see ourselves not in our own eyes, but through the eyes of the Lord. How many want God to be glorified in your lives? How many say, Pastor, I really want to be with the Lord. Can I say this to you before we stand? That means that sometime God will put you in positions that you're uncomfortable with. You may want to go be with, quote, your own group. Women that look like you or guys that think like you or play like you, whatever it is. That's not how God works. God will put you in the midst of something, says, I'm going to raise you up. You're going to be the odd man out, but I'm going to keep you. I'm going to preserve you. You're going to do very well. And I'm going to prosper you right in the midst of everything that you're in. How many really want to prosper the way God wants you to prosper? Can I say this last part to you? It's very simple. God will make and meet every one of your provisions, whatever you have need of, whatever healing, or we still believe in healing in this place, whatever manifestation of miracles, we still believe in miracles in this house. God will gift you and turn things around in your life, in your children's life. God will not forget your labor of love, but you got to be willing to do it his way. How many will rededicate their hearts to doing it God's way? We're in the midst of this doctrine of dealing with eternal judgment. How many say, Pastor, I want to have God's will and not my will? My will ain't been working out, but I'm willing to give God really my whole heart. Every one of you stand, every hand, every person stand, every head bow, every head bow, every head bow. Would you repeat this with me? Say, Father, forgive me of every fault, every sin, every transgression I've ever committed. I believe over 2,000 years ago, you died, Jesus. 3 days later, you were resurrected. And I believe one day you'll come again. Before you come, take my life, take my brokenness, take my failures, take my success. Use all of it for your glory. Now, while your heads are bowed, would you lift up your hands in the sanctuary, please? Would you say this with me? Father, fill me with your spirit. Power me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. Say, raise my voice as my hands are raised, that your will be accomplished in this earth. And I'll divorce all prejudice, all forms of it, away from my life. And wherever you lead me, God, that's where I'll go. Whatever you give me to say, I'll open up my mouth and I will declare your word from this day forward. If you really prayed it and meant it, now put your hands together. Give the Lord a hand clap. Come on. Come on.
We hope this message has been a blessing in your life. To hear more inspiring, transformative messages, visit glorytoglory.org and make sure you follow and like us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.